Welcome to a special bonus episode of Rom-Com Decon. It's the holidays, and that means I've already watched several dozen made-for-TV Christmas movies. Because I can't get enough of them. They're chock full of predictable tropes, and I'm something of a legend among my friends for knowing them all, even though they all have the same ingredients. Former TV stars who now do this for a living, way too much decor in the background, and the inability to have a DTR if a commercial break is scheduled. If you love them too, please enjoy this conversation with my friend Amy Heaton, in which we count down our top five favorite tropes in Hallmark-style Christmas movies. Don't worry, there's plenty of mention of Lifetime too. One more programming note before we dive in. Because we talked for so long, I've also cut the flavor of the week from this episode. Just think of it as me giving you time to go check out one of the movies we recommend. As NSYNC would say, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and here we go. Welcome back to Rom-Com Decon. We have a very special episode today because I am talking about Hallmark Christmas movies. And this is how I explain Hallmark Christmas movies to people who haven't seen them before. They're like first dates. Most of them are just so-so. Some of them are really bad. And some of them are really good, and you have to go on all of them or watch all of them to find the really good ones. And so I invited my friend Amy Heaton of at least 10 years, probably 12 years at this point, because we met on a study abroad in London many years ago, the year of the Beijing Summer Olympics, if you can believe it. And so, Amy, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Whitney. I'm glad to be here, and I'm laughing at everything you're saying, and it's all very true.
Amy and I have many of the same loves, including Hallmark movies. We both understand their cheesiness, but find joy in that. Amy, what do you think makes you qualified to be on this podcast episode? Tell us your credentials.
Oh, boy. So I have been religiously watching Hallmark movies since the year 2012. I tried to watch as many as possible. As you know, with the explosion of Hallmark and other made-for-TV Christmas movies, it's impossible to maintain a livelihood and watch all of them. But I have watched a lot. And to start back in 2012, me and a friend got together. We both were having health problems and were exhausted all the time and didn't have the energy to do anything except watch Hallmark Christmas movies. And I mean, let's throw in the others. Lifetime Christmas movies, ABC Family, which is now Freeform.
Yes, and which doesn't really make them anymore.
I know, it's super sad. I think they had three last year, maybe two, one. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Not enough.
Obviously, that's not enough. Anyways, so we put together a giant running list of tropes that we saw in these Christmas movies, and but it was an Excel spreadsheet so that we could mark which movies had which tropes, and we did that for a couple years and then kind of went off it and I moved away, but still I just every holiday season I am watching those Christmas movies, and the rest of the year, I'm also watching all of the other movies.
Yes, it's true. The Hallmark Channel is the one that I think consistently produces the most throughout the year. Lifetime does somewhat. Netflix is getting in the game now because it's content and it's video-based and they're Netflix. But we'll discuss, you know, comparing and contrasting the different channels and their styles in a minute. First, normally on the podcast, I have people tell their three favorite rom-coms, but I asked you to say your three favorite Hallmark-esque Christmas movies. So give me your list.
I know this is frowned upon. I have to put in an honorable mention simply because my top three that I have picked as such for this podcast are all Lifetime movies. But my honorable mention is a Hallmark movie, and that is the movie The Snow Bride, or just Snow Bride. And it's from 2013, and it stars Katrina Law and Jordan Belfi. And Katrina Law is just a vision. She is so hilarious and so relatable. And it's, as is often the case, an over-the-top, crazy premise, but it works.
It's true. That's one that is consistently named by people I know who enjoy these as like one of the top ones. So I would say if you haven't dipped your toe in this genre before, Snow Bride is a good place to start.
Yeah, it has a lot of the tropes, but it does them well.
Yes. Yeah. It's a good first date.
Okay, so number three, I'm going to go with Holiday High School Reunion, which is amazing. It is a Lifetime movie. It's from 2011 or 2012. It was on Netflix for a while under a different name, but I can't remember the name. It stars Rachel Boston and Jonathan Bennett, or as you may know him, Aaron Samuels of Mean Girls. And I love it because, as Stefan on SNL would say, it has everything. It has, yes, holidays, and yes, a high school reunion. Already, like, two surefire, trope-filled, wonderful things to have in movies. It has, you know, a failing fashion career. It has best friend, former, reuniting with your former best friend who was secretly in love with you in high school. It has also some super crazy things, which is why I love it, because it is super over the top and ridiculous in a wonderful way. It has musical numbers, but not your average musical numbers of, you know, a beautifully sung Christmas song. It is four formerly popular girls getting together in the costumes they wore in high school as they were part of the, quote, Glee Club. Never mind the fact that Glee Clubs were not cool at that time and were only would have only been cool after the show Glee. But the ridiculous musical numbers. Somehow the lead forgets why she and her ex-boyfriend from high school broke up, even though it's like a really, there's a really good reason they broke up. There's vandalizing the principal's office, talking bad about girls in the bathroom. There's just, oh, and there's Harry Hamlin as a teacher who one of the girls has the hots for, and it's super weird, but also super hilarious. Anyway, so I highly-
Oh, it has everything.
It has everything. If you're into it, like over the top silly, I recommend it. That said, my mom watches lots of Hallmark Christmas movies. She does not like it.
Great. Tell me about your number two.
Yes. So number two, I picked Poinsettias for Christmas on Lifetime. It stars Bethany Joy Lenz and Marcus Rosner, Rosner. I picked it because, one, I love Bethany Joy Lenz, formerly of One Tree Hill, which I actually have never, well, I watched like one episode, but I've never seen it, but I love her. Marcus Rosner Rosner is often like the other guy in the guy that gets broken up with in Hallmark movies. And I wasn't sure how he would pull off being the leading man, but he actually did a really good job. And this is one I really like just because it does have lots of the Christmas tropes, but it does them really well. And it kind of results in a really heartwarming romance I can get behind. It has Saving the Family Business, which I usually am like, oh, seriously, another one. But the Poinsettia Farm, and they make a point of saying poinsettia. So that is why I'm saying it that way. And then, you know, the girl returning from the big city to the small town. And anyways, it does lots of things really well. And it's funny and just enjoyable.
Excellent. How would you rate the chemistry of Bethany Joy Lenz and Marcus Rosner?
I mean, as far as these kinds of movies go, on a scale of 5, I would give it a 4.5 or a 5. They are a good match together, which is, of course, always essential.
Yes, I find that she's one of the more charming women in these films. The woman is pretty much the center of all of these movies because they're for women. And so if the woman, I can't like connect with her and feel like she has some warmth to her, it's really hard for me to care that much about the movie. So Bethany Joy Lenz, and really almost any cast member of One Tree Hill, just is attached to one of the, like, it's a better rom-com Hallmark Christmas movie pick. So there's an insider tip for you. All right, Amy, tell me about your number one.
Well, that's funny that you said that about One Tree Hill, because I was going to mention that later on. The movies I'm going to talk about later features the One Tree Hill cast. But my number one movie is called Love at the Christmas Table. It's from 2011 or 2012. It stars Danica McKellar, of course, Winnie from Wonder Years. Back before she was in so many movies that I got tired of seeing her in the movies. And then it also stars Dustin Milligan, which for those of you who have watched Schitt's Creek, he plays Ted Mullins, the on and off boyfriend of Alexis Schitt. So what I love about that movie the premise. Their dads own a furniture company together, and they built this table for the little kids that's the Christmas table. And every year they have a company Christmas party, and the two main leads, their kids come. And so it starts at age 4, it starts at the end and then it flashes back. Starts at age 4, we get kind of a montage of their childhoods, and then it like really gets going once they get to college. And it's one of those that stops in and you see them once a year, every year, and see like how their relationship has changed, or really is the case is that it hasn't changed, that even though they grow, or even though one of them moves away, they still have this great chemistry together. And even though occasionally they're dating other people, it's always obvious, of course, because it's a rom-com, that these are the two that have the real chemistry. And I also like it because it gets more real, I think, than a lot of made-for-TV Christmas movies do. We can talk about that difference in Hallmark and Lifetime, but they get into serious conversations and like why at this point in their lives it wouldn't work. And then obviously eventually it does, but it's super cute and it's funny and I love it. And I bought it on DVD. It's the only one I've ever bought on DVD.
Oh, well, good for you. I own a whole shelf of these things and I'm not ashamed to say it. And there you go. So those are 3 great recommendations. Definitely check those out if you, for some reason, can't find any other Hallmark type Christmas movies anywhere, which I mean, it's kind of impossible not to run into them at this point if you're flipping channels at all, or even just browsing a streaming service. Great. All right. So I have a game for you, Amy, to help us kind of get into the spirit. Now, this is not going to be super hard, I hope, because you know these pretty well. So I have 4 different categories of like title, name, job, and Christmas Eve event. And I have picked 3 that are real and 1 that is not. And you have to pick out the one that is fake. So okay. I'm going to chat these to you in our Zoom window here. And then I'm going to read them out loud and you tell me which one is not real. So we're going to start with title. So which of these is not real? Recipe for a Perfect Christmas, Carol's Christmas, Jingle Bell Rock and Roll, Will You Marry Me, Mary spelled like Merry Christmas?
Oh gosh, this one actually is really hard because I do recognize Will You Marry Me, but the other 3, I don't necessarily recognize. I think there's a Carol's Christmas from many moons ago. A Recipe for a Perfect Christmas or Jingle Bell Rock and Roll. I'm going to go with the fake one is Jingle Bell Rock and Roll.
Ding, 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 ding. That's correct. So Recipe for a Perfect Christmas is a Lifetime movie. And I know that it has Christine Baranski and Bobby Cannavale and then the love interest. I don't know the name of the actress, but Christine Baranski is like her overbearing mother who is living with her around the holidays. And Bobby Cannavale is a chef, and it's from Lifetime, and it's a good time. Check it out. Carol's Christmas is actually, I believe, aired originally on A&E back in like 2004 or something. It stars Tom Everett Scott as like this curmudgeonly greeting card writer who has like a Christmas Carol experience. You could watch it on YouTube. Not a lot of the jokes have aged well, but I was like, this is intriguingly clever. And Tom Everett Scott. So that's available. Jingle Bell Rock and Roll I made up, obviously, but I feel like that would be about like two rock stars who have to give a Christmas Eve concert together and they probably used to date and or hate each other. And Will You Marry Me, I believe, has some Hanukkah in it too, because it's like a Jewish woman and a man whose family celebrates Christmas are like getting married and their in-laws are going to meet each other kind of thing. So, all right, we're going to go to the second category now, name. So there are four names here. One of them is fake. Three of them are real. Tell me which of these names have actually been given to characters in TV Christmas movies. Nick Snowden, Chrissy Kringle, Merrily White, or Georgia Bailey.
Okay, I'm going to go with Chrissy Kringle is real. I'm pretty sure I've seen whatever one that one's in. I'm Nick Snowden. I'm going to go with, if for no other reason, because Nick is the name of every other male lead in these movies. And, Merrily White or Georgia Bailey. They both could work. Of course, Georgia Bailey, throwing back to George Bailey of It's a Wonderful Life. I'm going to go with the fake one is Georgia Bailey.
You are correct, but I'm so glad that I even like got you to think it was real for a second because I felt so clever when it came up with that. So Nick Snowden is the name of Tom Cavanaugh's character in the ABC Family movies Snow and Snow 2, Brain Freeze, and he's like young-ish, hot-ish Santa Claus looking for a wife kind of situation. Chrissy Kringle is Hillary Burton in Naughty or Nice, might be Naughty and Nice. She's also a child of the Santas. Merrily White is the name of the female lead in The Nine Lives of Christmas, one of my top faves. Thumbs up from Amy as well. And Georgia Bailey is hereby copyrighted. I'm using that. If someone uses it later, I'm gonna come at you. So that's the name of my lead in my Hallmark Christmas movie. All right, great. So it's gonna get a little bit harder now. These are jobs from Hallmark Christmas movies or not. One of them is not. And my question for you is, these all seem like something that no one could actually make a livable wage doing this. So let's see what's up. Your options are launching a hot chocolate food truck for the holiday season, running a Santa-themed amusement park that's open year-round, managing a store that sells dozens of varieties of Santa hats and is also open year-round, or planning parties exclusively for Christmas events.
Okay. I know the running a Santa-themed amusement park that's open year-round is real.
I'm going to go ahead and say yes, that's true.
Okay, with Luke McFarlane, and I can't remember who the woman is.
There's actually multiple movies that have that, because there's also one with Candace Cameron Bure, but yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Launching a hot chocolate food truck for the holiday season, I'm pretty sure is one, because I was like, really? When I watched it, and assuming I'm remembering this correctly. All right. And then the Santa hats or the planning parties exclusively for Christmas. I am tempted by the Santa hats option. There's a movie called Santa Hats that I haven't seen, but I'm going to go with planning parties exclusively for Christmas events simply because so many of the female leads are party planners, and that may be why it's a plant.
So, fun fact, the one that I think I made up is the launching a hot chocolate food truck, but that might be real. I just haven't seen it yet, and I couldn't find a synopsis with that. So if you find that movie, let me know.
Maybe that I'm mixing that up with other food truck ones where I just think, no, yeah. That, why do you think this is an original idea?
It's very common for a woman in these movies to have a job that's like part business, part creativity. So often that means like running a small business that sells food, and food trucks are very like what Hallmark perceives as hipsterish. And so that's kind of a place they would put someone. the other two are real. So there is a movie called Hats Off to Christmas where Hailey Duff runs,
what I was thinking of,
runs a store that sells dozens of varieties of Santa hats. And I'm like, how is this making money any month other than like December or maybe the last week of November?
Even in December.
Yeah. And it's also like, they're mostly ugly hats. And anyway, and then this, the other one is actually, I was thinking of a Lifetime movie called The Christmas Consultant, which David Hasselhoff is the Christmas consultant. And when you look it up on Wikipedia, please do this. The page for the movie has the German DVD cover because of course it does. So that might be a popular film in Germany. All right, last question here. Christmas Eve event. This is one of my favorite tropes to poke fun at in these movies because they're always like a small town that's hosting this like giant event on Christmas Eve. And I'm just like, everyone I know on Christmas Eve is at home with their families and not like out partying the town. Maybe I'm a sheltered Idaho girl. That is true of me. But also I don't know a lot of people who are like going to like gigantic events on Christmas Eve. So which of these is fake, which is real? Number one, everyone in town makes hundreds of cookies and everyone goes to everyone else's houses and they decide which house had the best combination of cookies and decor. Number two, hosts an art gallery crawl and fundraiser in a Christmas resort town where you have to sell $100,000 worth of paintings or one of the galleries will become a strip mall. Number three, have a destination wedding on Christmas Eve and then spend your wedding night in a magical cottage so your love will last forever. Or number four, interview for a major promotion late in the day on Christmas Eve at a time that conflicts with the company work party.
Okay, I'm positive on the first one. Everyone in town makes hundreds of cookies and goes to each other's houses and they decide on the best combination of cookies and decor. I have seen that movie. I know which one you're talking about. I can't remember the name, but
it's called Christmas Joy. I'll just give that away.
Thank you. Danielle Panabaker. Is that
yes.
The one? Okay.
The Christmas cookie crawl, which yes. I was like, this is the weirdest idea.
It is super weird. I know that the third one, have a destination wedding on Christmas Eve and then spend your wedding night in a magical cottage so your love will last forever, is also one. It stars Merritt Patterson and Steve Lund.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The tallest man who he always looks really tall.
Yes. He also guest stars in Schitt's Creek. That's another good thing about that show is that it's Canadian. And so there's lots of Hallmark actors or, you know, CW actors that kind of pop in. So I know for sure that those two are real. Interview for a major promotion late in the day on Christmas Eve at a time that conflicts with the company work party. I am almost positive as one because there are often interviews for major promotions late in the day on Christmas Eve. All those work obligations on Christmas Eve, you know, but I can't think of what the movie would be. But I think that one's probably right. So I'm going to go with the art gallery crawl as the one that is wrong. Made up.
You found me out. So you got me right on three of the four. Very, very good. I do feel like that sounds like a plausible Christmas movie story, though. Like,
totally.
Probably coming to you later this year on one of the four channels. So And for the record, interview for the major promotion. I was thinking of one called Jingle Around the Clock, but I'm sure there are others. So, because it's like, yeah, whose boss doesn't want to hold an interview at 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve? Because that's the most important time to be making promotion decisions. Wonderful. Thank you for participating, Amy. All right, let's dive in. We are going to count down our top five Hallmark Christmas movie tropes in this episode. But let's just talk a little bit more quickly about Hallmark TV Christmas movies. So when you look at the schedule and there's like 40 from Hallmark and a similar number from Lifetime, how do you decide which ones to watch? What makes you go, I'm going to watch this one?
I think the first thing I look for is the actors, just because so many of them are in so many movies and I'm familiar with them. And let's be honest, they play pretty much the same character in every movie. So they're pretty much the same. So you always know what you're getting. So that would be the first thing I look for. Second would be the premise. That will definitely get me to watch other ones. I mean, I try to watch as many as I can just because of that OCD part and perfectionist part of my brain that really wants to complete that Hallmark movie checklist app, but never will.
Yes.
But I will say the most reliable predictor, as my friend who I created the spreadsheet with back in the day figured out, is the writer of the movie, which makes sense. If you have a writer that has previously written really good Christmas movies or other, you know, year round Hallmark movies, then they're more likely to have a good one in the future. But that takes a lot of work to figure that out for the volume of movies. So I don't do that. And sadly, there's some of the best ones. The writer only wrote one.
It's true. I feel like I know a few names in the writing world, like in terms of if I see their name on the movie, I go, oh, good. This is by the Dabrowskis or Julie Sherman Wolf or whatever. So that's definitely true. But I also tend to judge by actors that I've like, I know you have the personality to carry off one of these movies because the premise and the script are going to be light and there's going to be just like a whole bunch of like holiday decor exploding behind you. And so you have to have the right personality to capture the screen and carry the story. Good. What makes a good leading lady or leading man? And we'll acknowledge right here that most Hallmark movies are about heterosexual couples, but there are a few gay couples who are going to be appearing in Lifetime and or Hallmark this year. So yay for moving out and expressing a little bit more of what the world is like, and hopefully more and more of that to come. Anyway, but what makes a good leading person in one of these movies for you? What do you look for?
Back to that inclusiveness. Over the last couple years on Hallmark in particular, when I've noticed a character that is not explicitly straight, or they never explicitly say that they are LGBTQ, but you can tell that they are, right? Based on real life. I've texted my siblings like, oh my gosh, you can't believe it. Or you won't believe it. Hallmark is branching out. Anyway.
Yes, I feel like The Road to Christmas is a good example of that, where Chad Michael Murray had two brothers and one of them, he goes to visit his brother and the brother has like a guy hanging out with him who's obviously very significant in his life. And they never said, hey, you're in a relationship, but you could tell they were in a relationship.
Yeah, that was definitely one of them. Wedding Every Weekend this summer as well, when yes. They attended.
So what makes a good leading lady or leading man for you?
I think kind of the same characteristics are going to go for both leading lady and leading man. They have to be, like you said, they have to have the personality to carry it off. Too often, it just seems like they phone it in. And you really need somebody that has a lot of charisma so that they will be likable past the many shortcomings of the plot or the other, sometimes the other side characters. But so yeah, personality number one. Oh, I wasn't prepared for this question. Number,
I can give some of my answers too. Like I would say, I look in a leading man the same thing I look for in a date, where I want your personality to be like equal to the way that you look. So you should be good looking, but you should also like have enough personality that it's not all about how you look, that you could carry off a conversation.
Yes, agreed. And there are, I'm just thinking of one right now. There's at least one Hallmark actor that I don't think is particularly good looking. And I think, oh, I'm not going to like this movie very much because he's in it. And then I watch it, and every time I do like it because he has the personality to carry it off, and I like his personality. Which, you know, in real life is kind of the number one most important thing.
Yeah. Are you willing to name names?
Am I willing to name names? Sure. Because I watched one this week, Christmas Encore, starring Maggie Lawson and Brennan Elliott. Brennan Elliott's a little old for me. Maybe a little short.
Brennan Elliott has done a Marcus Rosner where he used to be like the bad guy or like the boyfriend you didn't want her to end up with. And then they like switched it over and they made let him be the good guy. And I was like, yay, justice for Brennan Elliott. Like, yes, he kind of looks like you're really like your uncle, but also like he's handsome and he has personality and he knows how to like treat a woman well in like a Hallmark family appropriate way. So
agreed.
Wonderful. Good. All right. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. Which channel makes the best holiday movies?
Okay. I'm sure you have your opinions about this as well. I think for me, I mean, you saw my top three movies were all from Lifetime. Lifetime, while less consistent than Walmart, I think you're going to get more. I said Walmart. Hallmark is definitely more consistent. Lifetime, while it takes more swings, it has more misses, it also has more that hits it out of the park, touching on mine and Whitney's mutual love of baseball. So Lifetime, I think, is willing to take on the ones that are going to be sillier, more over the top, funnier. They definitely, they'll go shirtless on the male leads, which is, while it's not something I'm looking for, it's not something I don't appreciate. It's something that, you know, okay.
Yeah. And I think also, I mean, I would say we kind of have a little bit flipped there, but I agree with you that Hallmark is more consistent, but they also just, by the end of the season, you're like, I get it. There's the guy is in a green sweater. The woman is in a red sweater. They're standing in front of a perfectly decorated tree with like thousands of lights behind them everywhere they go. There's fake snow on the ground. Like, and it can just sort of feel like you're in a well-designed Christmas store rather than like actually someone's life and atmosphere. And Lifetime is a lot more willing to branch out and take chances and have some that are like almost strictly dramas or like really going for the rom-com elements. And all of the Hallmark ones, their leads can carry it off, but there's just like this level of like they're kind of all of the same. They're like all at like a 6.5, 7. And then there's like an occasional 9, but like Lifetime might have like a 5 and then also an 8 on the same weekend. So yes. What about Netflix, ION, Up TV? I know ABC Family. What are your thoughts about those?
So ABC Family, I feel like there hasn't
really been a big enough sample size in recent years, which is really sad because they do have some really great ones. I think they were one of the pioneers in the Christmas movie for TV genre as we see it now. You know, there's Holiday in Handcuffs, of course, which is I consider the most classic of the ABC Family Christmas movies. That said, I can't speak for Up TV. I don't think I've watched any. Maybe I watched part of one, but the reason I haven't is because I assume that they won't be good. I have watched I've watched maybe 3 or 4 ION movies, not always on purpose. They are always terrible. I think of them as the Hallmark Lifetime rejects.
Yeah, and for me, I like to point them out, not to make fun of them, like these are people working and doing jobs, but just to show that like everyone thinks these movies are just like so easy to make. And it's actually like when you watch the ION and the Up TV ones, you go, these are not just like something that you like bring 4 friends together and like set up a camera and a Christmas tree and go. Like there does need to be a level of planning and like technique to carry this out. All right, Netflix.
Netflix, I have liked lots of their movies. There's movies now. This said, I haven't watched any from this year yet.
Same.
But there haven't been any that I've loved. Maybe my favorite one so far has been The Princess Switch, which was totally unexpected because I didn't think, because I don't know, Vanessa Hudgens just isn't one of my favorites that I gravitate towards, but I did really like that one. The Christmas Prince, which is, yeah, that's right.
Maybe My Christmas famous. Prince or A Christmas Prince or The Christmas Prince. There's probably all 3 of those movies exist. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah. While I love Rose McIver, who's the lead in it. And I don't really know the male lead, but there wasn't really anything wrong with him. I thought, I've seen lots of Christmas Prince, Princess movies, and just Prince Princess movies before, and this one is just kind of like middle of the road for me.
Those are almost my exact words that I tell people. Like when A Christmas Prince came out and everyone was like, oh my gosh, have you seen this? I was like, yeah, and I've seen better ones and I've seen worse ones with the exact same story. So like, let me tell you about those.
Well, on the Prince Princess, usually Prince trope, I'll say, ever since Meghan Markle and Prince Harry got together, I feel like I have not been enjoying those Prince Princess ones as much because nothing in those movies can live up to the real life magic of their love story, at least as a member of the public perceive it to be.
Amy, this is why we're friends. I have had the same thought. And just as a side note, there are 2 Lifetime movies about the Meghan Markle Prince Harry romance and varying degrees of quality, but like sure a fun time for an afternoon. So, all right. I feel like we've postponed long enough. Let's get into our top 5 Hallmark Christmas tropes. I'm going to ask you to start, Amy. Did you rank yours?
No, not really.
All right. Well,
random order.
Give me 1 of your 5 then. Here you go.
Okay. 1 of my 5 is the sort of the playoff It's a Wonderful Life, where what would my life be like if I had made a different decision back in the day, or, you know, the sliding doors.
Sure. Like a parallel universes situation.
Yeah. And the movie that I like the most out of this trope is A Dream of Christmas, starring Nikki DeLoach and Andrew Walker, partially because Andrew Walker is my number one Hallmark leading man.
Nice. Solid choice.
There's no competition. It's been that way for years. But what I really liked about that movie in particular and these kind of movies is that I think there's more character development in them. There's the personal reflection. It goes deeper than the regular, you know, big city girl moves to or goes to the small town and sees what, you know, her life could be like and reassesses her career and her values. You know, that's kind of generically what most of the movies are. But like in A Dream of Christmas, the two leads are married already, which is something different. So that's already a bonus. And she has made lots of sacrifices for his career as a wildlife photographer, but they've traveled the world together. But it just has seemed like lately it's taking too much of their time. Her career is important to her too. I think she's in advertising. And she wonders, what would it be like if I didn't marry him and, you know, I could be the C blank O of my advertising company by now. And so of course, I can't remember if it's Santa or an angel. One of them grants her wish. I think it's an angel on the Christmas tree.
Sure.
Grants her wish. And so she sees, you know, or she wakes up and she has a great apartment, which P.S. they're poor in real life because he's a wildlife photographer. So she has a great apartment. All of a sudden she's the boss at her job. She loves all this new responsibility, but her husband doesn't know her. And I can't remember if she looks him up or she comes across him and he, you know, doesn't know her, and all of a sudden all of this relationship history is lost, and she tries to re-get to know him, or she knows him, she tries to get, you know, him to know her, hires him, he's not living his dream either, and, you know, eventually they find out that she figures out that the way she picked was in the first place, marrying him made them both better people and brought them happiness. Anyways, so I just like that one because it's sweet and it's, you like, they're already in love. You don't have to force yourself to believe that they fell in love in a week.
Yeah, I do like the that element of stories like this. Whenever there's a pre-existing couple that stays together in a Hallmark movie, it's like a rare occurrence. And you're like, oh, like this is about how growth can also happen in relationships, not just in getting a relationship. So that's nice. Good. I would say there's one that's kind of similar to this, a premise that I'm curious if you've seen, like the Amnesia type movies, where like Holidays is a good one with, gosh, I just forgot her name. And I want to say Jenny McCarthy, but it's not Jenny McCarthy, it's Jenny Garth. Yes. And Cameron Matheson, Hallmark, you know, leading man, always there.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one too, where she has like amnesia in the holidays and then like they end up together. Good. Any other It's a Wonderful Life-ish movies you want to mention? I see one listed here.
Family for Christmas. That's a Lacey Chabert one. I can't remember the name of the guy, but it's written.
Yeah, I feel like he's only been in that one. So apparently he didn't like the experience or they didn't like him or something. Anyway, but Lacey Chabert is a staple of the genre. I'm pretty sure she's going to put her kids through college on Hallmark movie money, and more power to her.
Sure.
All right, great. So my number five is Save the Department Store. So as we've mentioned, there's a lot of like, gotta save this struggling small business. And it's usually like in a small town and the big city's gonna come in and ruin everything. But I like ones that take place just in a city, and it shows that like city life is just fine. There's nothing inherently evil about living in a city. And so Save the Department Store is like the city equivalent of that. And the few that I would call out here are Desperately Seeking Santa, an ABC Family Freeform event starring Nick Zano and Laura Vandervoort. And she's like, whatever, but Nick Zano is like the present under the Christmas tree on this one. And it's a good time. And I don't know where you can stream it, but find it.
Anytime you can get Donnie Stevens on a anything.
Oh, that's right. So you work at the pizza place that the family
the pizza one with, yes. Sherry Appleby. Yeah.
Other good ones in this genre, Love at the Thanksgiving Day Parade, which takes place in my beloved Chicago, a place I wish that I lived, hashtag One Chicago. And also Call Me Mrs. Miracle, which is actually a sequel to a different one that has Dawson Leary in it, but I don't like that one as much as this one, which has Eric Johnson, aka Whitney from Smallville, and Joel State from a lot of other things, and the grandma from Everybody Loves Raymond, and there's a department store, and there's soldiers, and there's like carriage rides around the park, and it's just a good time. So I love Save the Department Store.
I don't know if I've seen that one, and that's funny that you say that, because I just watched for the first time this week Christmas in the City with Ashley Williams and whatever the guy's name is. I had like avoided it for years thinking I wasn't going to like it, but then I really liked it. And it was totally over the top and ridiculous. And it has Ashanti as a crazy militaristic marketing executive. But
yes, Save the Department Store. And it kind of feels relevant to want to save like in-person shopping experiences at this point, because online exists. So watch out, department stores are coming for you.
It's also a nice change from the usual small business of these movies, you know, the food business, the flower shop, what have you, and that it's a department store, and these things have been around for decades and decades.
And they also feel like they've earned their place in the Christmas movie pantheon because of Miracle on 34th Street. Like that takes place in a department store largely. And so it feels like this is, we're just riffing on that kind of thing. So, all right, tell me another item on your list. What's your top five tropes?
All right, another item on my list I have is the 12 Days of Christmas theme. It's done in tons of movies, some more prominently than others. I know there's tons that I can't remember, but I thought it would be nice to include a new movie on the list. So this is one from this year called On the 12th Date of Christmas, starring Mallory Janson and Tyler Hines. And Tyler Hines is one of my new Hallmark favorites. He's only been in the game a couple years, but there's just something I really like about him. He's very reassuring and comforting. I feel like he could take care of you. Yes. Anyway,
he feels like someone you want to watch him chop wood and also like pick up the kids from daycare. Like he just could do all the husband things.
Yeah.
That's a really weird thing to say. I'm sure he's happily married. I'm not hitting on you. I'm just saying that you as a persona come across well.
He comes off as uber capable, which is super attractive to women.
Yes. I just watched this last night and I loved it so much.
Oh, good. I'm glad. So this one is the 12 Days of Christmas. The way that it has envisioned it or reimagined it is that it's a scavenger hunt, and with 12 different stops on the scavenger hunt before you get to this new hotel opening. And so the scavenger hunt is romance Christmas themed. So the two leads are coming up with the scavenger hunt. And then the 12th date of Christmas is, you know, the last one, ends at the hotel and is where they get together. But the reason I like or will gravitate towards the ones that are explicitly 12 Days of Christmas, I mean, I can't explain it exactly, but psychologically, I mentioned kind of my OCD and perfectionist tendencies. And something about having that structure in place so that I know the beginning and I know the end, there's something solid that I can rely on in this movie. And a couple other examples will be The 12 Men of Christmas, starring Kristen Chenoweth and Josh Hopkins, which is from 2009. And I just started rewatching, and only to realize that it's totally a Pride and Prejudice retelling.
Yes!
I don't remember it all from when I originally watched it, you know, 10 years ago.
I feel like it's subtle-ish. And I only noticed it when there was like a dude coming out of a pool scene. And I was like, oh, this is Pride and Prejudice.
I realized it when I was like, two former best friends that now hate each other, and one is talking bad about the other, and the other is a grouchy guy. So, hello, Wickham and Darcy.
Yes. I mean, but the fact is, like, a lot of tropes and rom-coms in general have their origins in Jane Austen. So it's hard to say, like, we're actually playing on Jane Austen, or we're just, like sort of twisting Jane Austen because it's a romantic story.
Except this one is for sure playing on Jane Austen, because he makes a speech to her in the middle of the movie about how he has feelings for her, but he hates it.
Yes.
The other example I wanted to quickly bring up of this one is it's 12 Dates of Christmas on ABC Family, which, okay, it's kind of a terrible movie because the female lead is so unlikable in it. She is just selfish and kind of a terrible person, and my feelings about her didn't really change by the end. But it does have one of mine and Whitney's, both I know's favorite actors, Mark Paul Gosselaar, and he makes it worth watching at least the one time.
Yes, and I'm going to use this as an opportunity to transition into my number four, because my number four trope is when you're watching it and you say, this is a twist on an actual movie. And so The 12 Dates of Christmas is essentially Groundhog Day, but Amy Smart keeps reliving Christmas Eve over and over and over again. And so essentially she has to go on 12 dates with Mark Paul Gosselaar, twist my arm. Oh, right. How sad. And this is a Freeform / ABC Family movie, by the way. And I believe you can watch it on Disney Plus now. So, like, that's an option, people out there. Like we said, the leading lady leaves a little bit to be desired in terms of character growth, but Mark Paul Gosselaar is like a volunteer hockey coach and also a landscape designer. So he just has all those, like, they're checking all the boxes in terms of what women want in a romantic lead. And he doesn't have his beard from Pitch, but other than that, he's like the dark-haired Mark Paul Gosselaar we all love when we like to not think of him as Zach Morris.
Let's go ahead and plug Pitch, an excellent TV show that was cut too short, and in my opinion, peak Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Anyway, other movies that are in this genre that are also twists on actual movies, you mentioned The 12 Men of Christmas, A Bride for Christmas with Andrew Walker and Ariel Keppel, aka Dean's wife from Gilmore Girls, is basically Runaway Bride. Check In to Christmas with Rachel Boston and Wes Brown, one of my like top favorite Hallmark dudes.
Agreed.
It's kind of like a Romeo and Juliet of warring inns. And then Love Always Santa is kind of like a You've Got Mail situation with like a single mom running a coffee shop, and then like a children's book author writes a letter to her son or her daughter, I guess. It's a good time. So I just like it when I go, this is a rom-com, but at Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the You've Got Mail playoffs. I always love those in movie and book format.
Yes. It works great. And it doesn't hurt that the original You've Got Mail, The Shop Around the Corner, I believe was set at Christmas time, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So if you want an actual Christmas movie, go watch The Shop Around the Corner. All right, Amy, your number three is?
Christmas and Hanukkah Together. I can tell Whitney likes this one too. So I like this one, first of all, because it's something different, again, that we don't see too much of, or that we don't see much of. I also like the spirit of inclusiveness. You know, these movies are all Christmas all the time. There are lots of people who celebrate Christmas who also celebrate Hanukkah. There are lots of people who just celebrate Hanukkah and might be looking for the void to fill in their made-for-TV holiday movies. Or they have a void that needs filling. And it also brings up, there's a bit more tension and, you know, not quite, but a little bit of the forbidden romance aspect to it, just because you have two people of differing religions. And the movies vary in how religious the people are. Like in the one we talked about earlier with the in-laws, that I can't remember laws are
will you marry me?
Yes, will you marry me? So that one is a pretty big source of conflict. Others, not so much. So one from last year that I liked, mistletoe and menorahs, they go through Christmas, different Christmas and Hanukkah traditions and teach each other about them, the two leads. But some of these traditions are ridiculous. Like she teaches him about fruitcake. What? Why is fruitcake one of like the top three Christmas traditions that people need to know about?
Yeah, you would teach people to forget about fruitcake or to avoid fruitcake.
Right. But I just rewatched Hitched for the Holidays last night, only to realize, sorry, I'm going to bring it up again. It stars Joey Lawrence and Emily Hampshire. And Emily Hampshire, the female lead, plays Stevie in the TV show Schitt's Creek. And that made me love her even more. But this one is great because of one scene. It's hilarious, but one scene in particular where he's pretending to be Jewish for her family. They're fake dating. So that's an extra layer of pleasurable a trope on top of it. But they ask him to light the menorah for the first night of Hanukkah. And she manages to get him through the prayer and, you know, lighting, I don't know all the technical words, but the middle candle, and then lighting the one candle for the one day. They finish and he's like, oh, great. And he immediately blows the candles out of the menorah. Maybe the best scene in all of Hallmark Christmas moviedom.
Yes, I feel like I love that one as well for many reasons. Mainly that it actually has like moments that feel really comedic. Like a lot of these movies just rely on like, oh, let's have a flower fight, or oh, let's make snow angels or whatever. And they think that that equals comedy, and it does not. But like blowing out the candles on the menorah, that's hilarious. Or my personal favorite scene is when she comes to his family's house, and in order to make her feel more comfortable, they've tried to buy menorahs, but they could only find Kwanzaa lamps. So there's like Kwanzaa lamps everywhere, and their tree is decorated with like a whole bunch of Star of David's. It's strange. But I also like this movie because Emily Hampshire is great, and unfortunately is only in this one. I don't know if Hallmark movies are really her thing as a person, but I love her in this, and I love that she plays a reviewer of theater, and I was like, yes, I could get behind this. That's a great job. So Hitched for the Holidays, definitely recommend.
Do you have another trope?
I do. My number three is traveling with a stranger. So think about that, like, I think it was a refrigerator commercial a couple years ago that like the people were in the airport and they meet each other and it's the holidays and you can tell they're going to fall in love, and then they're running through the airport and she like runs into the refrigerator and it's actually a GE commercial. I was like really sad when I found out that wasn't a real movie, and it's because I just love this, like, I'm traveling with this stranger and we're going to fall in love on a road trip situation. I don't know if I would actually want that in real life, but I like it in a Hallmark movie.
Every time I fly on a plane, Whitney, I'm like, is this the day I'm gonna meet my husband? And so far every time the answer has been no.
Same, but that's okay. Anyway, so I would say the top one I recommend in this category is The Road to Christmas, starring Chad Michael Murray, a One Tree Hill cast member, so excellently made for these movies, and Jesse Schramm, who is also a really good personality, leading lady in most of the Hallmark work I've seen her in. Honorable mentions, Snowden Christmas with Andrew Walker and Bethany Joy Lenz, a delightful Lifetime film that I bought for 99 cents once on Amazon Prime and has gotten more than my money's worth out of it since. Dashing Through the Snow, also with Andrew Walker and Megan Ory. And that one's kind of also got like a mystery vibe going on.
Dashing Through the Snow is over the top ridiculous, and it is one that is actually truly funny.
Yes. And then The Flight Before Christmas from Lifetime with Maya Bialik and Ryan McPartlin. I mention only because I like that at the end, they decide to like go on a date, and they're not like, I'm in love with you. They're like, hey, I want to go on a date with you. And I'm like, that seems more realistic after traveling with someone for a week. You're not like, I love you. You're like, hey, let's get to know each other better.
I prefer those as well.
Yes. All right, Amy, what's your number two on your list? Your unranked list.
So yeah, this is definitely unranked. This would not be my number two one, but it is, I am putting it in my top five just because it's so Christmassy specific. And yeah, marrying into the Santa family. So these ones I think can kind of take two avenues, either the person marrying into the Santa family. And usually this is a child of Santa and Mrs. Claus that are getting married, though occasionally it's Santa himself. But either the person that is marrying into the family is really well suited to it, or they are opposite of well suited to it.
What makes someone well suited to be marrying into the Santa family?
Well, I'll just bring up an example. Becoming Christmas, starring Laura Bell Bundy and Jesse Hutch, who I love Jesse Hutch, and he is not in enough Hallmark movies, in my opinion. He's only like three or four, which for the record is not very much.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot. It's not.
But she is the daughter of Santa Claus. He is a toy maker who loves old-fashioned toys as his profession. So that is what I mean by perfectly suited. This is also a good movie because it has Jack Frost as a romantic rival, and Jack Frost is, you would not want to marry Jack Frost. The makeup job alone. And it has the parents from Family Ties as Santa and Mrs. Claus, which is also a good feature of these, is that they often have famous people playing Santa and Mrs. Claus. So the other one I thought of was Merry In-Laws, which stars Cassia Wrochowski, who I haven't seen in any other Hallmark movie, and Lucas Bryant, who's in a few, not a ton. But he is the son of Santa Claus and she is a scientist. And so then you have this magic science clash, which totally stands in for like a science religion clash that I don't think should exist, but it does. And anyways, so that's fun. And that one has Shelley Long and George Wendt of Cheers as Santa and Mrs. Claus. So that is extra enjoyable.
I do want to say the mileage on these varies widely, that there's one that is like a joke in my family, and I have not watched this movie in years, but it's called, oh my gosh, I just forgot. It has Steve Guttenberg as Santa.
Yes.
And he goes, hoo, 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 like as his laughter. And it's the most annoying thing. And I think it's called Single Santa Seeks Mrs. Claus. Yes. And there's also a sequel called Meet the Santas. That is a terrible movie, like terrible to the point that it's endorsed by the Jimmy Fallon writer's room as like something they watch every year, probably drunk and or high, and like make fun of. So, you know, whatever your experience wants to be. Great. I also see that you
leave some not winners in that category.
Oh, definitely. I also see that you listed one that I do like, Annie Claus is Coming to Town, which brings us Sam Page, another great leading man of the Hallmark genre.
He is. I didn't even realize he's in that. I haven't seen that movie since it came out.
Go back and revisit it, our beloved Sam Page. All right, my number two. This is something that could obviously be a non-Christmas movie trope, but I love it when they do it together, do it in a Christmas movie, and it's working together, probably after working against each other kind of thing. So we hate each other, now we've got to work together, I guess we're going to like each other kind of thing. My top one in this category is Window Wonderland, and it stars Paul Campbell and Shyler Lee, and it's really hard to find, but I believe is on like the Hallmark Movies streaming service, and that's like exclusively where they keep it, but it's really good. It's worth getting your free trial and watching this movie. This is the movie that introduced me to Paul Campbell, my number one leading man. And he's kind of like, I feel like he's in the same category as Brennan Elliott, where he's not as handsome as some of the other guys. He doesn't have that like jaw necessarily, but his personality just like makes him the top dude.
Sorry, I have to add it because Window Wonderland is definitely in my top 10 and was considered for my top 3 list. It is an excellent movie. Paul Campbell is just a joy to watch on screen. That's all.
Yes. The premise of this movie is that Paul Campbell and Shyler Lee are both working at a department store, another one of my favorite things, as window decorators, and they're basically competing for a promotion. And so they set up two windows and they're next to each other. And it's like, she takes care of one and he takes care of the other, and they're competing. But then obviously over time, they come to realize that they like each other and maybe love each other, and it's great. On the 12th date of Christmas also fits into this, obviously, to co-workers. Let It Snow with Jesse Hutch and Candace Cameron Bure. She shows up at his family's resort and they're going to take over, but then they realize they like each other. This was the movie that introduced me to Jesse Hutch, and I was like, where is this man? Jesse Hutch is like the opposite of Paul Campbell in that he's like real good looking and his personality is like mostly there, but like his face is carrying the performance. And that's not a diss. That's a compliment. And another one in here, Best Christmas Party Ever with Tori DeVito and Steve Lund. It's like maybe the one that looks like the most low budget of all time, but their chemistry works, and so it's fine. I believe Marcus Rosner is in this one too, maybe. Or maybe someone who looks like Marcus Rosner as her like boyfriend-ish person. Anyway, not important, but watch it. All right, Amy, we're to your number one. What's your number one Hallmark Christmas movie trope?
Okay, so this is one that is not Christmas specific, but comes up a lot at Christmas, and one that you've talked about on this podcast before, and that is the fake relationship. So as talked about on your podcast, and to all the boys I've loved before,
Amy's only a librarian. It's fine.
It's fine. I only read the books years before the movies came out.
Nice. She was the OG fan.
I really like those fake relationships and that it gets two people to spend time together who maybe otherwise wouldn't. And that way they can kind of develop. And it's also like no pressure. They're able to develop a friendship before they develop feelings. And the chief movie I wanted to go to in this one was The Christmas Contract, a Lifetime movie of the couple years ago, which was advertised as the One Tree Hill reunion movie. Really, I'd never watched One Tree Hill, but I love all these actors. It only needed Bethany Joy Lenz and Chad Michael Murray to really round it out. But budget problems, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, like those two only really play the leading role, which were already taken in this movie.
Yeah.
So like, what would they have been? Chad Michael Murray could have been her like ex-boyfriend.
That could have worked. Yeah, this one is Hilary Burton and Robert Buckley, who I love Robert Buckley from the TV show iZombie, which is excellent. And I am not a zombie fan, but it's an amazing show, so I'm plugging it.
My sister and her husband both love One Tree Hill, and when I told them that this movie was happening a couple of years ago, we like specifically sat down as a family around Thanksgiving and watched it, and it was a good time. And yes, anytime there's a One Tree Hill cast member, I've only seen some of One Tree Hill, but like they know how to carry this off. I don't know what it is between the crossover, but it works.
Robert Buckley always has like he's always sarcastic, and that really is my love language.
So. And he's wearing some like not nerdy, but great looking glasses in this movie. And it's just like, okay.
He's a writer. Okay. So premise of the movie, Hilary Burton is
her best friend's brother is Robert Buckley, and she has to go home for Christmas to Louisiana, and she broke up with her ex-boyfriend, or she and her ex-boyfriend broke up. He dumped her only 6 months ago, and he's bringing a girl home for Christmas, and so she's like, crap, I need somebody to just help me get through this, to be a buffer, because their families are really close, they're parents run a festival together. She knows she's going to see him. So her best friend comes up with the idea of, how about my brother goes home with you? He'll help you with this. You'll build a website for him for his writing career. And so they're in this fake relationship, and I don't know, even know what to say, Whitney, because I love it so much and it's so magical and wonderful.
I just want to say that this movie makes holding hands sexy, okay? Like, I get more excited about the hand-holding scene in this movie than, like, the kiss at any other Hallmark, Lifetime, whatever movie. Like, it's just so natural, and the chemistry just works, and yes, definitely check this one out. Full endorsement, Rom-Com Decon Podcast.
Yeah, and this one is also has funny moments, and the two main characters are able to be vulnerable with each other, and they just agree to date when they get back to the city, though they do profess love, but whatever.
It's fine. They've known each other for years. It's not like they just met last weekend.
Yeah.
I have to say, my last story about this movie is that last year, some friends decided they wanted to have a Hallmark Christmas movie night, and they invited me to pick the movie and bring like a bingo board so we could all like fill out like, what are the tropes that are happening kind of thing. And I showed them this, and they were like, this movie's too good. We wanted to watch something crappier. So that is what you need to know about this movie. All right. Anything else you want to call it in the fake relationship category?
I mean, there's ones we've already talked about. Snow Bride, Hitched for the Holidays, Holiday in Handcuffs. Then the one that we hadn't talked about so far is Holiday Engagement, which is a Hallmark one from like 2011, I think. And it stars Bonnie Somerville and Jordan Bridges, son of Beau Bridges. And It's just a really good one. She hires him. He's an actor to come be her boyfriend for the weekend because she and her boyfriend break up. Her boyfriend bails on the trip last minute, and it's Thanksgiving weekend. So that also makes it a little different. Anyways, it's just heartfelt. It's a good one.
Yeah. I feel like the thing about that movie that doesn't make sense now is that it's like, it acts like social media didn't exist back then, and that there wouldn't have been pictures of her and her boyfriend that her family would have seen. This isn't the same guy, but that's neither here nor there. All right. And my number one Hallmark Christmas movie trope is when people find themselves suddenly living under the same roof. And my number one for this is what I call Hallmark's version of The Holiday, which is Trading Christmas. This came out before Airbnb was a thing. So you have Tom Cavanaugh and Faith Ford. Tom Cavanaugh is a writer who lives in Boston. Faith Ford is a widowed teacher who lives in Washington State. And they decide to switch places for Christmas because she wants to visit her daughter at college, who is saying, I don't want to come home for Christmas this year. She ends up falling in love with his brother, Gil Bellows, and he falls in love with her friend who just shows up at the house randomly and helps him write his novel and keeps the house like going. And I can't tell you what it is about this movie that works, but I like it better than The Holiday. And I think it's because there's some really good chemistry between Tom Cavanaugh and Gabrielle Miller. There's just some like fun, snarky conversations that you can tell the writer actually put some real work into like making these fun conversations. And then the Faith Ford and the Gil Bellows story is a little bit more like heartfelt and that kind of thing. It's just kind of a little something for everybody. Have you seen this movie, Amy?
you know, I thought I had, because I've seen another holiday-like one, but I don't, now that you're describing it, I don't think it's this one. I may not have seen this one, even though I believe this one is also on the Hallmark channel, or like on the
It's stream. In the checklist app, so you better try to find it. Good. And one last thing I want to call out here is The Nine Lives of Christmas, which is my number one movie that I recommend to people if they haven't seen a Hallmark Christmas movie. Start with The Nine Lives of Christmas. The premise is dumb. There is a firefighter played by Brandon Routh / Superman of Superman Returns, and he finds a cat at a fire rescue and decides to take it home. Needs to feed it, meets a girl at the grocery store who happens to be a veterinary student, and she tells him what cat food to buy, and then they just keep running into each other, and it has Kimberly Sistad, who is probably my favorite Hallmark leading lady, because she's got brown hair and seems like a normal person who I'd want to hang out with, and they, in his spare time as a firefighter, he restores houses. And so at one point she gets evicted and he invites her to move in, and they are then living under the same roof. And, you know, it's like The Proposal, but without Betty White and, or the naked scene. So yeah, go from there.
Yeah, that is one of my favorites as well. I definitely really like Kimberly Sistad, and obviously Superman is good looking, but he's also really goofy and funny.
And yeah, I feel like
he work not, well together.
Yeah, he doesn't have, he's still like kind of stiff, which I think is part of the character. He's kind of trying to come out of his shell a little bit, but it works. And if you're like me and you like to watch firefighter TV shows, this will also scratch that itch. So yeah, The Nine Lives of Christmas. The movie, the title is dumb. The book I've also read is also dumb, but the movie is fine. We've covered so many good ones, Amy. Let's just really quickly think into the future. Who would you like to see in a Hallmark movie that has not yet made one?
Okay, so you gave me this question and it was really hard. I know that there are so many actors and actresses that if you said, would you want to see them in a Hallmark movie? I would say yes, immediately. But trying to think of them, because I was always also trying to think realistically of who, you know, these are mainly TV actors. They're mainly Canadian. They're of a certain age. Anyways, so only came up with a couple, actually. For leading men, I said Matt Lanter, who he starred in the TV show Timeless. He was also in the CW remake of called 90210. And he unfortunately largely does voice work, which doesn't make sense to me because he's so beautiful. But I think he fits perfectly in line with what Hallmark and Lifetime does do with these movies. Another one, I'm going to say lots of cast members of the TV show Suits have done these movies. And I know who Whitney would want to see most. I'll let you talk about it because I'm guessing this is on your list. Patrick J. Adams.
He's not on my list, but I would watch that. And you know what? He is in one called Christmas in Boston.
Oh, he is. Yes.
But he hasn't been in one in a while. So
that was like 15 years ago.
Yeah. But you can look seek that out. It exists. And he's opposite Gia from Full House. So interesting.
Yeah. Anyways, I was going to go for Gabriel Macht, who plays Harvey Specter on the show. He's another one. We'll put him in the Brennan Elliott, Paul Campbell category. He's handsome, but not, you know, in a typical way, but he's really got the personality to pull it off.
He seems like Jeremy Renner handsome, not Chris Evans or any other Hollywood Chris handsome. So
I'll agree with that. And even though, you know, his character in Suits is really cutthroat, he has a heart and he's relatable and vulnerable, and he can do that really well. As for female leads, I came up with one, and that's Candace Acala, who plays Caroline in the Vampire Diaries series. And I just really love her. And I think she would be perfect for these movies because, first of all, she has chemistry with everyone. She dates like every leading actor on on the Vampire Diaries, and she has chemistry with every single one of them. And also, she just has like the countenance, I think, that really works for Hallmark. Just really nice, always, you know, a sense of conviction, things that are common in our Hallmark heroines.
Wonderful. I think that's a good list. I kind of use similar criteria with coming up with mine, like generally people who have been in, have been on TV mostly, that's like where their career has happened, and either like have connections to someone who's been in these movies, or they were on a teen drama but haven't been in many things since. So on my list, I have Amber Riley of Glee. I think she would do really good.
She's got one. I don't know what channel it was.
Oh, so she's been in one. I need to find it.
I've been researching. I think it might be on Amazon Prime, but I'm not.
Okay, I will find that. I also thought of a lot of like Disney Channel people, actually. So I would love to see Ally Machalka and Raviv, formerly known as Ricky Ullman from Phil of the Future, because let's be honest, like that show was not good, but I really, really cared about their relationship. And then he just like went back to the future, and I want to know, like, I want to see them together again. And then also I'm going to take it back to my beloved Even Stevens. I feel like not Shia LaBeouf, he's too famous. He's not it right, but I think Christy Carlson Romano kind of has the persona of someone who would be a Hallmark or Lifetime leading lady. And also, where's Twitty? AJ Troth, come out of retirement, be in a Hallmark movie. I will write it for you. I have one last question for you, and it has to do with people who are already in Hallmark movies. Okay. What are the pairings of stars that you want to see that you haven't seen yet? Because this is basically just kind of like a weird high school clique where everybody gets together and makes a movie with each other and kisses chastely once and then moves on and does another movie, or maybe starts a mystery series with someone that they had particularly good chemistry with. So
it's true. And this one was really hard because I think of people and then I go, oh no, wait, they're already in a movie together. Oh no, wait, they're already in three movies together. I think the pairing of the ones that I came up with, the one that I want to see the most that I don't think exists is Bethany Joy Lenz and Tyler Hines.
I would watch that.
Yeah. So as we've talked about, she's very, well, they're both very charismatic. She kind of has a more kind of silly side. He has a little bit of a more serious side. And I think that they could, but they're both capable, very capable of playing the other way. And I think that that could work. They would play off each other well.
Agreed.
So that's going to be my answer.
Okay. I'm staring at five options, but I don't want to bore the audience that has listened so deeply through this long podcast. I'm going to say my top one is going to call out a couple people we haven't really talked about. We talked a little bit about Nikki DeLoach, who I think is a really good leading lady. And I would like to see her opposite Chris Palaha, who is also kind of like the uncle nice guy personality, but he really knows how to create chemistry with whoever he's playing opposite. So I would love to see what they could do together. So those are our requests, Hallmark and Lifetime. Make it happen.
Whitney, I really want to see that movie now.
Right? Maybe we just need to write it. So let's get on that.
Nikki DeLoach is one of my, they're both favorites of mine. I made, to come up with this, I made lists of my favorite actors and lists of my favorite actresses. They're both in the top three.
Yes. Wonderful. Yeah. So it should happen. All right, Amy, we're going to sign off. Thank you for coming. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. And thanks for listening.
Rom-Com Decon is brought to you by me, Whitney Sorensen. You can reach me at RomComPod on Twitter or at RomComPod@gmail.com. Support the show by leaving us a rating on your podcast app of choice or by sharing us with your friends. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Here's hoping 2021 holds some new and exciting things.